Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Morning Magazine for this April 6th, 2021. Your host, James J. Maloff here. Thank you so much for joining us today. In part two, we're going to speak with our friends from the South Oak County YMCA. Right now, we have joining us on the phone from the Family Center, Hmong Services Coordinator Yer joining us. Good morning, Yer.
Good morning, James. How are you?
Doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Good. Great to have you with us. First off, we got a couple of quick notes we want to get in. First, I want to wish you a very happy anniversary. You're celebrating 3 years at the Family Center. Appreciate the great work you do over there.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Great serving people.
We appreciate the work that you do, Yer. And please do us a favor and wish Sue a very happy birthday, Executive Director over at the Family Center. I know it's Sue's birthday today, so I wanted to wish her a happy birthday again.
Yes, it is her birthday today.
Yer is joining us. April, for those that don't know, April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and certainly any chance we have to, we can talk about this subject and highlight some aspects of this subject, we want to take the part in that. And one of the things we thought we could do today is Yer and I talking about Hmong culture and explaining some of that and why it's so important to have a Hmong advocate, and actually two a Hmong advocate and a Hmong services coordinator over at the Family Center. I thought we could kind of get into the reasons and the purposes for that, if you wouldn't mind, Yer.
Yeah, most definitely, James. So with the in the Hmong community, some topics that I would want to speak about is kidnapping brides and marital rape and AIM, which is known as Abuse International Marriage. So those are the three main topics that I would kind of want to cover today. With that, you know, with sexual assault in our Hmong community, it is very it's a hard topic to even bring up or talk about. So it's never been discussed as a group or upon one another. Out of the three topics, I would have to say that international abuse and bride kidnapping is probably the most two main topics that would actually be disclosed among the community, but with the marital rape, you know, obviously any kind of rape, nobody is, they always feel that weight on them, that shame, that it's always their fault, that they never want to speak about it, including in their own partnership, marriage, and things like that. So, and in our Hmong community, if that is something that is such a normal thing that happens in our Hmong community, that is that people don't even educate that as it's wrong. You know, consent has to be given before any of this has to happen. So consent is not a very well-known word in the Hmong community at all, or permission, you know, when it comes to sexual behavior or activities, consent is not never been that focused. It's just kind of whatever I want to. The husband's like, I'm going to have intercourse with you tonight, and that's what it's going to be. You know, the woman has no say in it. So it's very difficult in our community, not understanding consent.
Yeah. That seems like something, especially from other people that I've talked to and friends I've had in that grew up in that culture and everything, something that has been there for a long time. And it's going to, any of these things, like any traditions, they take a lot of work to get through them, to build past them. I would like to kind of just take our time with each one of those topics there and to touch on the bride kidnapping part. One of the bigger topics for people over the last, I'd say, 10, almost 15 years now has been human trafficking and people concerned about that and focusing on that. Now, bride kidnapping, is that similar to human trafficking? Is there any parallels to that?
It is. I wouldn't define it as human trafficking, but it is very similar to it. Same with AIM, but let's just focus on the kidnapped bride. It's been such a tradition in the Hmong community where when you like somebody and that somebody doesn't like you, the male has the right to kidnap her as his bride at any time. And once he does kidnap the person, then she is now her, his wife, with or without her consent. You know, again, the consent is very important, but they're not acknowledged of it. So with that, and it happens a lot in the Hmong community back in our homeland, Thailand and Laos and Vietnam. It's just such a traditional thing that it just became so normal. And when the first few migration of the Hmong come to the United States, it still happened in the United States to where they would get kidnapped, like in the middle of the road or from home or, you know, any places that, that they can be kidnapped. They would just be taken away. So the difference between that with human trafficking is that it would just be the one person. It wouldn't be like a pimp or being sold out to other pimps and things like that. So that's what the human the bride kidnap looks like in the Hmong community.
Huh. You're, when it comes to that, something like that, what can be done to help prevent those kind of things? Or once it's already happened, what can be done to help the person that's in a situation like that?
Yeah, so back then, it was very traditional to the point where, you know, as long as you had accepted something from the husband or that the groom, even if it's just like a little piece of a hairpin, it's considered as you welcome him to be part of your life. So because you accept his gift, that means you accept his kidnap. So that's what it means back then. But now, with the living in the new environment, living in America, you know, we've been adapting to a lot of the laws and culture, the different culture aspects of the rights and the wrongs. So here, it's I would say within the last few years, there hasn't really been a lot of that happening at all.
Go ahead, please.
No, I was just going to say, if it did happen, the girls, parents has the right to bring her home, you know, like they're not forcing her to marry him anymore. So that's the big difference in the change. And the prevention of it is that the parents are now more knowledgeable and knowing that that is wrong. Kidnapping is wrong. And I think a lot of the new generation has just grew to the American way of, you know, I'm not forcing my child to go back to a abusive relationship, or I'm not forcing my girl to married someone who she doesn't love or have never met and just kidnap her. So that has really been a big change throughout generations. So that is a good thing in the Hmong community.
Yeah, you know, that's something, as long as we're on that, because I want to take the time with each of those three topics that you mentioned. But since we're on that topic, I wanted to kind of get to this at some point anyway. Are you hopeful that there is some evolution with the culture? Because, you know, especially when you join us, it feels like when we talk about Hmong culture, we focus so much on some of these, you know, negatives, if you will, for lack of a better word. When it's one of the most beautiful cultures you could ever find anything out about and learn about and everything. And I really hope that people understand that and take that not only from our conversation, but just daily life. If you don't know anything about the culture, I encourage you to look into it and everything. Because while there are some, you know, old aspects and some parts of it like this that, you know, you and I are talking about here, there are so many beautiful aspects and such a beautiful people too, and they have so many great things going on that I don't want to take all the time to that. So with that being said, and the Americanization of some of these traditions and that, are you hopeful? Do you see some, you know, kind of getting things getting a little better with some of these things or some evolution to it?
Yes, most definitely. Working as an advocate and facilitating the support group within the older Hmong women and then the teens, like, you definitely see the difference when it comes to conversations. But you do see that the mothers or the older women are accepting that, you know, sometimes that the some things that the younger generation are doing is different from what their generation used to be, and they are slowly accepting the difference. So yes, definitely. I think as long as we educate our younger generations to where, you know, we can find that medium, I think we will slowly continue to change and make that difference of how the traditional Hmong community looks like to more of a modern and where it's not so patriarchy.
It's a positive to hear. That's definitely really good to hear. And certainly, like I say to everybody over there at the Family Center, you know, we're hoping that one day you've got to find a new job. Because, you know, we would love it that you guys didn't have anything to do over there and there was no domestic violence and everything. But with where we are right now, we really appreciate hearing things like that and especially appreciate you diving into these topics like we are. I know they're not, you know, you kind of started off with mentioning this as far as in Hmong culture. These are hard things to talk about and difficult. And I'm sure, as you've noticed, it's no different here in the States. We have our cringes. We cringe on certain topics, and there's certain things we don't like talking about. But that's kind of part of the problem of why we've gotten into this situation, is talking in hushed voices and not, you know, really part of why abusers are able to keep abusing is because they can get away with it. Out of shame that their victim is feeling, or guilt that their victim is feeling, and it not, you know, being brought forward. There's a lot of different layers to this, and us talking about it at a high level at 10 in the morning on our shows and things like this, it's important that we do these certain things. So really cannot thank you enough for the time. You mentioned that there were three different kind of sub things that you wanted to get into there. Where would you like to go next?
Yes, let's go right into the international abuse international marriage. It ties in with the kidnapping. So with that, with the abuse international marriage is when someone older, it could be either a male or a female who's older and who's going overseas and trying to hook up with younger people from the overseas and bragging the family with money, you know, like kind of like human trafficking, where they're feeding in like these positive things and then bringing the younger generation over, because to everyone, the United States is the freedom. It's a freedom land. It's a place where you could do whatever you want, you know. So it's basically these older pimp, Hmong pimps going over and the you know, like telling successful stories and things like that to make the younger generation fell in love and the family fell in love, so that they would then give their daughter or their son over to whoever this pimp is to bring over to the United States to have a more successful life, to find out that it's not as successful as they were told. So abuse international marriage is very difficult because more of the older males usually, they still have their wife, their first wife, or maybe even in a polygamous marriage to where they have multiple wife already that's living in the United States. And then here they are overseas trying to get someone a lot younger who could possibly be their granddaughter, you know, who knows. And I'm focusing a lot on more on the males because that is a lot that's had happened. You know, we've had females who've done the same thing. I'm not saying that the females are not abusers as well, but we see a lot more of the male in our community doing that than the females.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely, international marriage is a big thing right now.
Yeah, it certainly statistically, women do rank in there, but statistically, more men by far are guilty of this. I think that this is a new topic to some people too, as far as international marriages or abuse of international marriages. That whole topic in itself, as I mentioned before, you know, sex trafficking has been on people's minds and they've thought about that and that sort of thing. But this is a whole different world, I think, to some people. They may not know a whole lot about this.
Right, and I mean, I think this is a more well parallel to human trafficking than the bride kidnapping, just because it's exactly the same action. You know, the pimp is bragging the other side, just trying to get them to the United States. Although once they get to the United States, they don't sell their young wife to people, but they are very controlling, very there's a lot of violence, domestic violence in the relationship, just because of that controlling aspect, or if they have, they still have this first wife, that the conflict of that would play in part with domestic violence as well. And it, yeah, it just gets pretty ugly when it even gets into that square.
Yeah. Is there anything else about this topic you think people should know about your?
No, I mean, just be aware that, you know, if you ever see an older gentleman with a younger, it's a possibility that is, you know, there's that abused international marriage, and it's not great. I mean, there's really nothing at this point that we can really do, because none of those victims are coming to the family center due to the protective of the husband, who is not allowing them out of the house because they're too young and they're afraid that people are, you know, going to snitch her away. So just be aware that, you know, if you do see something like that, it, you know, it, they could possibly be a husband and a wife and not a dad and a daughter. And, you know, don't be weird about it, just because, I mean, it should be weird about it, but...
No, I think we know what you mean, though.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You certainly, yeah. Any time you see a Hmong couple together and the gentleman looks older than the girl, you don't need to jump on this, that it's an automatically right. Abusive international marriages, but it is something to keep an eye on. It is something, especially, yeah. You know, if it's a neighbor, it's a couple that you see often or something like that. And that that's a wonderful thing to bring up also, with it being, you know, Sexual Assault Awareness Month, we've kind of been telling our audience during Over the Back Fence and at other times things that they can do in their day-to-day life to kind of help with this topic. And that is one of those things with really any couple to keep an eye on. Not so much the age difference thing, but, you know, there are little things that we all have a tell. We all have different things that we show, and we're like that with every emotion, not just when we're playing cards and we got a good hand. It's like that with all emotions. Human beings, we can't help ourselves. We all have tells about when we're happy, when we're sad, all these things. And whether you realize it or not, you can pick up on a lot of that stuff just in interacting, just in seeing your neighbors or seeing somebody on a monthly basis or something like that, even as simple as that. So keep an eye on this stuff. These are things that you have to trust your gut on. And more times than not, your gut's not going to lead you the wrong way. So it's certainly something that you can do as far as supporting the cause to keep an eye out for that kind of thing.
Yes, definitely. And with the abuse international marriage, it's something that a lot of the culturally specific domestic violence shelter or organization is working really hard on to find a way to help these younger girls or younger generations to be taken advantage of. So we're working on it as a culture specific advocate. So definitely.
Yeah, I see so many parallels between what the Hmong culture is going through in this evolution that it is seeing, and really what a lot of what we're seeing with a lot of the male population in America. And so many of them getting, and I hate using this term, but it comes so overused, but becoming a little more woke, becoming a little more in tune with, okay, it's not cool for me to do this to a woman, or it's not cool for this to do, you know, that sort of thing. And, you know, the old way of doing things that, you know, their parents kind of raised them as, kind of learning from that, and the trickle-down effect, and we're seeing more and more of it where there's a lot more, it's not that uncommon to be raised like I was, that, my dad used to always say to me, doesn't care if a woman's coming at you with a blowtorch or a pitchfork, run the other way. There's no excuse, no reason. That seems to be more the thing where it seems similar with the Hmong culture. As you talked about before, you do see some, you know, evolution there. You do see some things getting a little better as far as these topics go.
Yes, most definitely. And it's good. It's good. It's a good change.
Yeah. I wanted to mention this, too, because while it is an important, vital, and wonderful work you do as the Hmong Services Coordinator over there, you're also works with clients of all backgrounds, and she works to educate all about abuse of international marriages and sex trafficking. I said, you got a pretty full plate over there, Yer.
I do, but I do enjoy it, and I love what I'm doing. Sometimes it's not the best, but most of the time it's great result, and you just being able to see someone walk out of your office, it doesn't matter what you did, smiling and just brightening up their face before when they come in, they're so down. But just being able to lift some weight off the people's shoulder is just a great feeling. So I'm just really happy that I'm in where at the family center where I'm at. So
it sounds like we're really happier there too, and it sounds like it's the perfect fit. And it's something that whether I've talked to Debbie or Sue or so many people over there, it's almost the same way said in the same, not the same words, but with the same emotions. It can be a grind, and you're talking to and helping people at some of the, if not the worst, one of the worst moments of their life. The other side of that though is when you, like, I can imagine, hearing Sue talk about this and talking about the grind, and then when she gets to that latter part like you did, where talking about the people leaving and everything, and all of a sudden I hear it rise up in your voice, and that passion is why it's so important that we have people like yourself and Kim and Debbie and Sue and all the whole gang over there doing the important work you guys are doing, because it's not enough to just collect a paycheck. You've got to care. You've got to have your heart invested in these topics.
Yes, definitely. Well said.
Yara, before we let you go, is there anything you wanted to touch on?
Yes. So April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and the Family Center is doing once a week on the Thursdays. Follow our Facebook page. We are doing events or a virtual events to bring awareness of the Sexual Assault Awareness Month. The first 2 weeks, right now it looks like it's going to be the last three Thursday, the first 2 weeks would be specifically Hmong topics, and then the last week, Jess and Rosso are doing a virtual event, and I believe this is more of a victim-based setting. So with that, just follow our Family Center Facebook page for updates and what the topics would be.
It's a great follow, not only keeping up with things at the Family Center, but they do such a nice job of putting in some positive things in there, too. And it's just a nice thing to have pop up in your feed. I encourage you to do that and encourage you to reach out to our friends at the Family Center if you need them. Their crisis line is available 24/7 at 715-421-1511. Otherwise, you can give them a call with other questions at 715-421-1559 or email them communications@familyctr.org. Appreciate the time so very much from you. Again, congratulations on the 3-year anniversary, and we will talk with you very soon.
All right. Thank you so much, James.
Thank you. Keep up the great work. Stay safe out there. Yeah, have a great day. Again, a big thank you to our friend Yer from the Family Center for Joy.